Well, this morning we get to start a new sermon series. We're going to take this sermon series all the way through the summer, and the sermon series is entitled Unlikely Heroes in the Bible. And what we're going to be doing is looking at just plain, ordinary people. People who are just like you and me, absolutely unlikely, that God claims and uses for an extraordinary purpose, that God shows his plan to and uses them in miraculous and mighty ways. And what we hope to get out of this is to see how God can use each and every one of us for his plan, for his purpose. Because the fact of the matter is, God has redeemed each and every one of us. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been bought, we have been claimed, not for our purpose, but for God's purpose. God has an absolute purpose for you and for me. It is to carry out his plan, his great commission that he gives us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. God tells us that that is what we are to do as his people, to be his hands and feet. He has a plan. He gives us our purpose. But I have to ask, am I the only one here who has plans and dreams and purposes for my own life? Anybody else have a plan for your life out there? Does that plan always match up with the plan that God has for you? I think we'd all like to say that God's plan of salvation is always at the forefront of our minds. We would like to say that. But even I would have to raise my hand and say, no, there's lots of times where my own plan for my life supersedes God's plan. Because I have dreams and I have aspirations and I have things that I want to accomplish, and most of the time, those things are all centered around who? Me. And a lot of times, what happens is when a believer's life gets focused on themselves instead of focused on God's plan, God will step in and God will kind of give us a gentle wake-up call. That can be in many different forms. It can be a person who says, you know, I really want to encourage you to do something different. It can be a scenario. It can be an event. It can be a life-changing event that God uses to get us back on track, to show us the path that we need to be on. And that path is God's plan of salvation. And so today, as we get to dig into our text, we get to see God give somebody a wake-up call in the Bible. And we get to see one of the most unlikeliest heroes in all of Scripture, a talking donkey. Now, I have to say this. I think there's a conspiracy. If you remember all the way back to Advent, I had the privilege of preaching on a character in the Bible that was not in the Bible. I don't know if anybody remember that. I think they're starting to punish the associate pastor. Let's give them the crazy, outlandish sermons. I get to preach on a talking donkey. Now, I thought about this for a while, and I thought, if I was this person, Balaam, in the Bible, how would I explain that a donkey talked to me? And the only thing I could think was by this clip that we have on the screens.
Oh, I've got a talking donkey.
Right. Well, that's good for 10 shillings, if you can prove it.
Oh, I'd go ahead, little fella.
Well?
Oh, he's just a little nervous. He's really quite a chatterbox.
Talk,
you boneheaded dog.
That's it. Talk. I've heard enough. Guards!
No, he talks. He does. I can talk. I'd love to talk. I'm not talking a damn thing you ever saw.
Get her out of my sight.
No, I swear. No, he can talk.
Hey, I can fly.
He can fly.
He can fly.
He can talk.
That's right, fool. Now I'm a flying talking donkey. You might have seen a house fly, maybe even a super fly, but I bet you ain't never seen a donkey fly.
Uh-oh.
Seize him!
Okay. Did you think I could preach on a talking donkey and not share a clip from Shrek? I know that's absolutely not how this went down. But it's amazing to me that God can use something like a donkey and give it speech to give somebody a wake-up call, to get them back on the right path. Now, before we dive into the text that we read earlier in Numbers 22, I got to give you a little bit of background, because a lot of people do not know the full account of Balaam and his donkey. Now, I do invite you to open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 22, and actually I'm going to kind of tell the story from Numbers 21 all the way to Numbers 24. That's a long section, so I'm not going to have us read this. I'm just going to kind of tell the story. But here's what's going on. The children of Israel are ending their time of wandering in the wilderness. If you remember, after the Exodus from Egypt, as God miraculously displays his power and brings his children out of Egypt, they sin against God after they cross the Red Sea, and he declares that they are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We are now ending that time, and God is bringing these people just to the edge of the promised land. They're coming right up into the land of Canaan, and as they do, they're met with resistance, because the land of Canaan is filled with different groups of people. People who have their own kings and their own cities and their own armies and their own territories. And as the children of Israel are trying to get through these areas to the place that God is leading them, they would go to several of these cities with kings, and they would ask for safe passage. Almost all of them turned the Israelites away and then tried to attack Israel, at which point God stepped in and handed them over into the Israelites' hands. And the Israelites were able to defeat these armies. Well, now the Israelites are standing on the doorsteps of a country, if you will, entitled Moab. And Moab is ruled by a king named Balak. And Balak has heard what the Israelites have done to the Amorites and some of these other cities that they have gone through. And Balak is afraid. He does not want the same thing to happen to him. So he enlists the help of a prophet, sorcerer. Depends on which interpretation of scripture you take. And this guy's name is Balaam. Balaam is well known in the world at this time for being a sorcerer or a prophet who is able to curse people or to bless them. He is able to win wars with his blessings or curses. He obviously has some connection with God or with evil spirits. We don't know fully. But what we do know is that this person, Balaam, knows Yahweh. He knows the God of the Israelites, but he also follows a lot of the false gods. You see, Balaam is a prophet for hire. He is out there to do what other people wish so that he can make a profit. In Balaam's life, the most important thing to him is money. But yet, he knows Yahweh. And so, the king of the Moabites sends a delegation to Balaam. And they asked Balaam, will you please curse the Israelites so that we can win the battle and we can rid these people from our land once and for all? And Balaam says, I don't know, I got to sleep on this. I'll let you know in the morning. So Balaam goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, Yahweh comes and speaks to Balaam. And he says, you cannot curse the Israelites because I, Yahweh, the one true God, has already blessed them. There is no curse that you can speak upon them because my blessing is greater. So it doesn't matter what you try to do, you can't do it. Balaam listens, and the next morning he tells the Moabite officials, Yahweh told me I can't curse them. I'm sorry, you'll have to go on your way. So they go back to Balak, and he says, no, you go and offer him whatever it takes. He has to curse the Israelites. So they come back once again and they say, I will offer you all the gold in Moab. And Balaam says, you could fill the palace in Moab with gold and silver and give that to me. And it still wouldn't be enough because Yahweh has told me that I cannot curse them. But let me sleep on it one more night and see what Yahweh says. And so he sleeps on it. And Yahweh shows up to him again and says, you can go with these men, but you can only say what I tell you. And so Balaam gets up the next morning. He tells the Moabite officials, I'm going to go with you. And so he saddles his donkey and he rides for Moab. And this is where we run in to the problem in our text. This is where it gets interesting. Because up to this point, Balaam has done exactly what God has said. He has sought Yahweh's help, advice. He has listened. He has turned the Moabites away once. And the second time, he follows and he does exactly what God says. He says, you can go with them. But you see, God knows the heart of a person. God absolutely knows the heart of a person. And he knows what the desires of Balaam is. He was just offered the palace filled with gold and silver. And Balaam is a man who has always been for hire. Balaam's desire is for wealth. And so as Balaam saddles his donkey, God knows that in his heart, he wants to sell out and try to oppose God for the wealth. I think about that. And I have to ask ourselves a question. Have we ever been like Balaam? As people who are redeemed by Jesus, we know the purpose that he has for us. But have we ever let the things in our life, our desires, get in the way of God's purpose? Have we put something before God's plan for our own selfish gain? We know the commands that God gives to us. Go, make disciples of all nations. We know that God says we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. We know that God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we know that God commands us to forgive others as we have been forgiven by Jesus. Are those not all clear commands that God has given to us in Scripture? Yes. But have we allowed things to get in the way of us following those clear commands? Has our pursuit of earthly treasure ever got in the way of us carrying out the Great Commission? Has our pride ever stopped us from forgiving as God has forgiven us? Has our desire for prosperity, for the great American dream, ever gotten in the way of us loving our neighbor as ourselves? Or God forbid, loving God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul? Yes. I failed in all those areas. And we all have to admit that we have failed in all those areas. And we read earlier in our gospel reading, in verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermins do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts to sit on the throne of our hearts. But when we decide that we want to put something else in front of God, it's like we're pushing God off that throne of our hearts. You see, God is very clear. Jesus makes it crystal clear in this text that where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. So my question is, what's your treasure in this world? Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it esteem? Is it luxury? Is it just being comfortable? What's your treasure? My prayer is that our treasure will always be the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That He will be the focus of our hearts and our lives each and every day. But we also know that we are sinful individuals. We are broken, and we are prone to wander. And so what happens when we wander, when our focus gets off, and we, instead of focusing on God's plan, we step to the side and we focus on our plan? Well, many times God gives us a wake-up call. And in our text today, God gave the most miraculous wake-up call and one of the funniest scenarios that I've ever read in Scripture. And so in Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 21, you see the account of how God gets Balaam's attention. Balaam is riding on his donkey with the Moabite officials. He's going to Moab, and in his mind, he's going to say this curse to get some money. And this is what happens. You have Balaam riding on his donkey, and in the middle of the road, the angel of the Lord shows up with sword drawn, and he is ready to take Balaam's head right off. The only thing who sees the angel of the Lord is Balaam's donkey. Donkeys aren't as dumb as we think. He sees the angel, and he says, I'm out of here. And he wanders off into a field. And so there, Balaam beats the donkey. Stupid donkey, I can hear him. As he's beating this donkey to get it back on the road. So the angel of the Lord moves a little bit further up the path. And in this next section, he stands between two rows of stone, a vineyard on each side. It's a narrow area, probably enough for two things to pass. And there the angel of the Lord waits with sword drawn, ready to take his head off. The donkey sees once again. Balaam does, and he has no clue. But the donkey presses as far away from the angel of the Lord as possible, just out of the reach of this sword. And in doing so, he crushes Balaam's foot up against this stone wall. He probably screams out in pain and begins to beat the donkey. So the angel of the Lord goes to the third spot. This is a path that is only narrow enough for one thing to cross at that point. And there the angel of the Lord stands. Balaam's not getting out of this one. Sword drawn, ready to take his head off. The donkey sees it. I'm done. And he lays down. At this point, Balaam loses his mind. And he begins to beat the donkey mercilessly. And then God steps in. And God opens the mouth of the donkey. And then we get this exchange in verse 28 of Numbers 22. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Okay, I have to pause right there. Balaam's in the process of beating the donkey. All of a sudden, the donkey looks at him and says, what have I done for you to beat me these three times? I don't know what your first reaction would be, but mine would be to run because the donkey's talking. But no, Balaam is so angry. Have you ever been really angry and you just went with the situation? That's exactly what Balaam does, because he says this. Balaam answered the donkey. You've made a fool of me. If I had only had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. So now he's been beating the donkey, and he finds himself in a full-out argument with the donkey. The donkey responds to Balaam. Am I not your own donkey? Wait, the donkey is reasoning with this man. Am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I ever been in the habit of doing this to you? This surprises Balaam, and he ponders. No. And it's at that moment that the angel of the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel standing there with sword drawn, and Balaam realizes his mistake. He realizes what has happened. Now, I have to just pause here for a second. Can you imagine having to tell this story to somebody else later on? How does Balaam explain what just happened? Well, I was riding along on my donkey, and it wasn't doing what I asked it to. So I started beating my donkey. And I was just beating the donkey, and all of a sudden the donkey started arguing with me. And I started arguing back. I think Balaam loses some credibility here. He's arguing with a donkey. But what's amazing to me in this entire story is Balaam has gotten off track. God had given him a clear command. You can go, but only speak what I allow you to speak. And in Balaam's mind, he is going to stray. He is going to go and do something else so that he can gain monetary wealth. And God places the angel of the Lord to stop him. And it takes a donkey opening his mouth and speaking in a human voice to get Balaam's attention. And it did get Balaam's attention. Because if you continue on through Numbers 24, Balaam only goes and speaks what God says to the Moabites. But we also read in our New Testament reading from 1 Peter that Balaam did not continue to obey Yahweh. He actually ended up dying in Moab when the Israelites invaded. Why? Because he went back and he sought after wealth. I think of this, and I say, what do we learn from this unlikely hero of a talking donkey? What is the lesson for you and I as we sit here? Well, the lesson is, if we are wandering in any way, shape, or form like Balaam was, what is your talking donkey? What is my talking donkey? Now, if you do have a real talking donkey, I want to see this. But I say it as a metaphor. What is your talking donkey? What is God using in your life to show you where you've strayed to the left or to the right from His plan? Many times, God uses a person, as I said earlier. They see us wandering off the path just a little bit, and they step in and they say, Brad, I've noticed this. Maybe you need to think about something different. Maybe it's a scenario. Maybe God has placed a scenario in your life, and you're going, why is this here, God? What is this happening for? And it's a reminder that God says to you, you need to get back on my path, not on yours. Maybe it's a roadblock. Maybe it's an absolute roadblock. You have this plan for your life, and you are just hitting a wall time after time after time after time. And you're going, why am I hitting this wall, God? And God's going, wake up. Do I need to send the donkey? Because we all stray. But we need to take a lesson from Balaam and his donkey. When God places these wake-up calls in our lives, we need to heed them and not continue to fall back as Balaam did. And the great news is that as Christians, we've already been given the greatest wake-up call that we could ever be given. And that's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for all those sins that we get hung up on in the past, for all the failures that we've had and will have. Jesus paid the price for them. And He says, follow Me. And so as we follow, I pray that when we step off the path, that we'll recognize God's warnings, that we'll accept the correction. Because I don't know about you, but the path that I want to be on is God's path. I want to be about doing God's work. I want to be about making a difference in our community, in our world. I want to be used by Him, not for my own selfish gain, but for His glory. And so, I pray that today, as we come to the altar and we receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, that we could take an inventory of ourselves. And if there's something in us where we're straying off of God's plan, that we'll ask God to show it to us. And if He is showing it to us in some way, we will wake up, and that God will open our eyes to see that metaphorical donkey standing there talking to us, calling us back onto God's plan. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, forgive us for the times that we step off your path. Forgive us for our failures. Use us, God. Show us the ways that we need to change, because we all have some ways that we need to change. And God, if it takes a talking donkey, I pray that you would send it, because I want to be all about you and your plan and your purpose. It is in your name.